not terrorists. These folks are not security concerns. And even if they were, what's the rationalization that we can't know the numbers and the names is ridiculous. It's frustrating not to know the numbers. We know that it's somewhere, you know, above 3,000. It's part of the situation now is that the public is not allowed to know.
What we see is that administrations year in and year out have used race and ethnicity and nationality where it applies to people of color to cover up for their inability to solve certain problems.
The government needs to whip up fear, hatred, and patriotism to get people to support all of the terrible things like the U.S. Patriot Act, like war, and get people to support their goals and their aims around the world and here also in the United States.
Since September 11th, we have seen the INS taken over by the FBI. The rules of the game changed.
Most of the immediate laws that have affected immigrants have been done through executive decree. Basically, John Ashcroft wakes up one day and decides, I want to put people in concentration camps. He writes a report and everyone jumps on it.
One of the first moves of the Attorney General was to change the rules by which the time for charging individuals with immigration violations must be accomplished. We have learned that two Pakistani men were detained for 47 days without charge.
Since 9/11, we have started to detain people who simply have overstayed tourist visas for men from the Middle East, which we've never done before. We detain people who even have petitions pending for them, who are married to legal residents or U.S. citizens.
People are being subject to arbitrary and ever-changing rules that make them constantly and perpetually deportable.
We have hundreds of these cases now. So what started off as a very, you know, scary case before 9/11 has just turned into the norm now. Now people go to hearings and they don't know if they're going to be open, if they're going to be closed, if they're going to be able to confront the evidence. They don't know if they're going to be, they don't know when they're even going to court. They don't know when they're going to be deported. They don't know. So it's like all these things are that we're taking for granted. It's like we're in like this new lawless kind of system now where anything goes. This war on terrorism, the plan, I think, begins taking shape with the Hart-Rundman Commission report. The report is a very urgent report, stating that if the U.S. doesn't take unilateral action, it will fall behind, it will fall to the wayside of these emerging other imperialist countries. It's basically a 25-year plan for the U.S. foreign policy. The Hart-Rundman Commission is a bipartisan Democratic-Republican commission. Which means that whether we vote for Democrat or Republican, we're going to get more or less the same. They make a bunch of observations in the Hart-Rundman Report. One of the observations is that the nature of war will not change. The Hart-Rundman Report puts it in context. You know, the nature of the system that we live in leads to wars and leads to wars for profits and imperialism. There's a lot of talk within the report about the strategic importance of energy reserves, particularly in the Middle East. That a long-term military and economic supremacy would depend on taking this by force. Basically, the argument is that the U.S. has to take the initiative, that the U.S. has a lot of enemies around the world, that it's coming increasingly under attack. The report almost prophetically claims that there would be a major terrorist attack in the United States, and that the U.S. must seize upon that opportunity to implement its plan for the next 25 years.
Thank you. since I'm busy during most of the week at the hearings, I take advantage of the fact that the jail's open on weekends to attorneys and took the opportunity to do a consultation here. From here, I go to another jail up in Bergen County to visit another detainee, and if I have time, I'll go to another jail.
Every step of the way becomes a very difficult process. You know, you get the bail, you have to fight for posting the bail. Then you post the bail, you have to fight for getting them out. Then you get them out, you have to fight for getting their documents back.
We're in front of the Metropolitan Detention Center. It's a maximum security federal prison. Muslim men were picked up off the streets, from their homes, from their businesses in Brooklyn, in Queens, and throughout New York City, and brought here. There were Egyptians, Jordanians, Syrians, Kuwaitis. The largest group would be Pakistanis.
Since 9/11, it's completely changed. Every month, the INS and the FBI, they raid there, they're checking on what's going on. And people are scared.
Everybody's very excited, but very sad. This area almost dead.
There were so many ladies with kids. There were brothers who couldn't find their family members.
I was just devastated. I mean, I went through so many law agencies, and everybody says, like, we can't help you. There's no chance. That's all they kept on saying.
Nobody knew where these people were. So what we did was we held a huge meeting with the FBI, the INS, Congressman Major Owens. A lot of questions were put up, but those questions weren't answered.
I contacted every news, every American channel, UPN9, Channel 11. They was like, well, we can't help you. If it's something against the government, we can't help you. I even called the White House, and the lady that picked up the phone, I guess was the secretary or the operator, she was like, well, there's nothing we can do to help you.
Some of us got together, said that, you know, this should be a place where people can actually go directly and understand and ask questions how to help each other. COPO opened its doors. We started having weekly legal clinics to explain about what happened with the detainee people because they didn't have any representation.
In response to the growing number of detentions, a group of us from diverse backgrounds who were multiracial, interfaith, formed the Coney Island Avenue Project because we just couldn't stand by and watch what was happening to our neighbors. With the help of a major grant from the United Methodist Committee on Relief, we were able to obtain legal help for the detainees and financial help for their wives and their families. Beyond this, we organized protests and Know Your Rights forums and fundraisers.
Starting December 2001 until October 2002, there were weekly protests here against the mass arrests and secret detentions of Muslim immigrants.
The detainees have been organizing. They've been going on hunger strike. They've been doing so much despite the fact that they get punished. They get put into isolation. They get transferred.
We are here just to know why they held my husband and my brother in a very high security. They did not let me to meet with my husband for 3.5 months. They did not tell me that what kind of charges my husband have. But he is still in a very high security and he is treated like he's a criminal.
I was always continuously chained up, as everybody else, not me, every other INS detainees.
You know, whenever they used to take me out of cell to meet somebody, you know, to take down somebody, you know, or going to transfers and everything, you know, you could see other criminals without chains, and I would be sitting over there with chains on me.
نیچے سے لاتوں سے دبا دب مارے اور اس کے بعد سے گرا دبانے کی کوشش کر رہا تھا پھر اس نے چھوڑ دیا اس نے بولا میں تمہیں ابھی چھوڑ دیتا ہوں اور ہم نے تین قتل کیے چوتھا قتل تو مارا ہی صحیح کوئی بات
This is a brother detained at another detention center in New Jersey. He's been in detention for 14 months. He is presently seeking asylum from his native country in South Asia. They call this detention. This is not detention. It is prison. It is hell. People have to know what's going on inside. I have been in detention for more than 1 year now. But really, I can't stand to be in here 3 months. It makes people crazy. It makes all of us crazy. Please don't call us detainees. Call us prisoners.
Thanks a lot.
Securing our homeland means not only a new Department of Homeland Security, it means hunting these killers down one at a time.
The Department of Homeland Security, in effect, is the child of the Hart-Rudman Commission. As far as immigration is concerned, this group of people, they've gone from the jurisdiction of the Department of Labor to the Department of Homeland Security. So they've really gone from, you know, being seen as pure labor to really every immigrant being seen as a potential terrorist. Theoretically, at any given point after a terrorist attack, people would be rounded up, and based on nationality, they would be sent out to different locations, different jails around the United States. The point of it is basically to suspend rights for a large group of people.
Given that I'm on a student visa, I'm required to go for special registration. Special registration is intimidating as much as it is harassment. It's harassment based on my country of origin, which is Pakistan. It's harassment based on my religious affiliation, which is Islam. The reason that Pakistan is on the list is because it's a Muslim country. None of the hijackers that hijacked the four different planes on 9/11 were Pakistani citizens. It just sort of adds to the humiliation, the racism, the fact that you're racially profiled.
We're here in front of the federal building today and the INS because our country has breached its promise to the people of this country and of the world with its program of special registration of individuals who are male and over 16 and who come from what our country has told us is the wrong side of the global track. For the moon.